Item 26 from the Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, providing an informational report regarding employment actions based on the 2015 adopted budget. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Session.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Session. I asked for this item because you issued a memo or a letter, I think on December 19th, talking about how you were going to implement the 15 budget, and it had a series of things that had never been discussed before here about how the administration believes they can proceed and how you are proceeding. And so I appreciate you being here to explain that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, just to back up a little bit from the December memo, if you recall back in the summertime, the state passed Wisconsin Act 203 that authorized, you know, the separate board to handle mental health issues. As part of that, the Behavioral Health Division was no longer required to follow ordinances, which meant that they no longer were required to follow the status quo conditions that were incorporated into Chapter 17, which meant that in a lot of cases, they were still required to follow civil service rules. So in the absence of the status quo, they defaulted to civil service rules for matters such as layoff. As we were meeting with them, as you know, they've been going through some closures out at the Behavioral Health Division. As we were meeting with them to advise them on how to go about doing this, we realized that the rule that applied to layoffs in particular was outdated and effectively unworkable. It was a rule that had never been invoked. It goes back to 1987, but in most cases, the existing labor contracts had addressed all the layoff provisions, so these rules had never been invoked. What we found was that there was one set of rules in the civil service rules for represented employees, which required layoffs to be handled by bumping through seniority only, and there was one set of rules for non-represented employees, which we would consider DC 48 to be non-represented employees, and that one allowed layoffs to be conducted, as we laid out here in this memo, by seniority or performance, attendance, other matters as they could be effectively measured. We brought that to the Civil Service Commission for a rule change, and we inquired of Corporation Counsel whether that was something that we needed to go through the board to get done. We were trying to move quickly. So the Corporation Counsel had advised us that we effectively no longer had to bring this to the board under Chapter 33, that we could proceed, and we did, in fact, go to the...
What is Chapter 33
for? I'm sorry. Chapter 33 is the Personnel Review Board Ordinance that... When the Personnel Review Board was created, there's a clause within that that says that any changes to the civil service rules, not Personnel Review Board rules, but civil service rules, must go through the county board first. So we brought this to the Civil Service Commission October 1st. They adopted the rule change. It was published and went into effect. So we did that in order to help expedite what we needed to do out at the Behavioral Health Division so that they could get the employees that they needed to maintain patient care as they were going through the transition of closing units. Into December, after the county's budget was adopted, we had more layoffs that we had to go through. And as we were looking at that, we realized that the status quo terms for layoffs for non-BHD employees still left something to be desired. We found that there was bumping involved in there that we no longer found to be an acceptable practice. So we made a call that we wanted to go ahead and apply the civil service rules as they applied to layoffs to all employees countywide. We consulted with Corporation Counsel, and they advised that they thought that was an acceptable action, so that's why we put out the memo the way we did.
Chairman.
Supervisor Mayo.
Corp Counsel, I would like you to put that in writing because he just stated that this post came in front of Milwaukee County Board. We created the civil service and the PRB board. This is no state statute. And it states that it comes in front of the county board. And again, that's the reason why I have no problem with, if you just want to just work with us.
Right.
This is what you just did is wrong. I mean, you when I went with the same deal with Chris, I mean with the county exec, is we set some policies and you just blew it off. I'm confused. Well, and from my corp counsel, I would like to see that he just is. That's why I asked, what's the statute? And you stated exactly what the statute said.
Well,
and that's wrong.
To be clear, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the statute is Chapter 63 of the Wisconsin Statutes applies to the Civil Service Commission and creates the Civil Service Commission.
We created our civil services here. And everybody had created when you did that. And I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting.
No, that's all right. Mr. Chairman, the statutes, Chapter 63, created the Civil Service Commission. The county board at some point back in the 70s created the Personnel Review Board Ordinance, Chapter 33, just to be clear.
I guess what was troubling to me as I tried to get into this is that when I first inquired about it, it sounded like this was all about 203 and mental health. And then I get that memo, and that's the first time I understood that you were taking a broader approach and that you were striking down the status quo ordinance as well as, or provisions of the status quo ordinance as well as provisions of the ordinance that required you to just inform, you know, to bring it through us first. And it's one thing to decide that you didn't have to come here for approval first, but you didn't even bring it informationally. And that I found offensive. I mean, it was unique and creative what you came up with, but just poor form in terms of how you implemented this.
And I acknowledge.
It seemed sneaky.
We could have communicated that better. I acknowledge that. That was my fault.
Mitchell?
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors.
Yeah.
I wanted to just add some more information kind of surrounding all of this so you kind of understand the whole picture. And as you may know, the civil service rules are about kind of one of two things, how people come into the county and how they go out of the county. This kind of, if you kind of boil it down to sort of what's included in there. And we've determined the civil service rules haven't been updated in about 28 years. So when we look back into the history, and it kind of reads like a really old personnel manual if you kind of go through and read the whole thing. So Rick and I actually had gone, have been looking for months, going line by line through the entire thing to say, what are all the things that really need updating? There's outdated language. There's some of it is old process based on paper versus computer, you know, those types of things. So there's a lot in there that needs updating just because it's not even practical or even utilized anymore. There have been a lot of federal laws passed since this has been updated, you know, FMLA, ADA, USERRA, even Act 10, you know, and nothing's been updated. So that's a big task, I think, that we're going through. And I think what Rick is talking about is the layoff piece in particular, what created the urgency was what was happening at BHD. But this is a broader conversation in terms of the updates that need to happen. And we were advised by Corp Counsel that the commission is actually a creation of state statute, and it's pretty explicit in there that it's our role to actually advise the commission in terms of what needs to happen with the rules and assist them with that. So that's what we followed.
Okay. Supervisor West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I guess any excuse is better than none. So I will sleep on that tonight. I just wanted to take this opportunity because this morning we were talking about confirmations and shenanigans that people pull in order to, you know, and we've confirmed them and we're stuck with them. And I just want to say for the record that this absolutely falls into that category. If I could be more disappointed, I really don't know how I could be. And to sit here and have people say, oh, well, you know, it's outdated and it's this and it's that, well, then you know what? Then you should have done something about that before. If you anticipated that it was outdated and that Act 10 had changed it and whatever else had happened. But to just go ahead, I mean, these are our they're our employees. They belong to Milwaukee County. And, yes, the state came in and they pulled some, I'm going to use a nice word, of shenanigans with, you know, with BHD and whatever. But the last time I checked, and I think this budget in 2015 proved that those employees are ours. And so to just, you know, to come and say, oh, I knew we were supposed to come and get authorization from the county board, but it seemed like we had this special circumstance, so therefore we didn't. It leaves such a bad taste in my mouth. And I just think, you know, but this is really, this is what we signed up for. Because this is happening right under our noses while we're full-time county supervisors. So imagine all of the wonderful things that will happen when we're part-time and we're not able to be keeping up on things and keeping track of what's going on. And I know that that's the whole point of it all, is that nobody's watching the hen house. That's awesome. But, I mean, it's ridiculous. And like I said, I don't feel bad for myself. That's fine. People treat me however they treat me on the regular. But what about our employees? That's where my concern comes in. So now you've taken away the civil service rules for our employees without their elected representatives being able to have a say. And the little bit of say that we do get with those particular employees, because we don't get a lot of say anymore regarding their budget and regarding what happens to them. So I don't want to belabor it because I know everybody wants to leave, but again, I wish the newspaper was here because I know I'll get all kinds of misquoted about my stance on people's confirmations, but I just have to say this cemented it, and I want to get up and high five and run around the table for the vote that I took this morning, because I'm loving it right now. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not trying to belabor it either, but I think it has to be highlighted. I mean, for you to put the changes in the same category as some simple administrative thing, paper, how the paper is processed or something, is just not. I mean, that. You knew what you were doing. I mean, we had a status quo ordinance. We can disagree about it, but you knew what policy the board wanted, or the majority of the board wanted. And I just don't accept that you didn't realize that this was an end run around that, and that you had no intention to work with us. So. The record just doesn't show that. It simply doesn't. You'd have brought an item. You know, it wouldn't have been a memo the day after we had our last meeting. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deputy Director Session. Milwaukee County Department of Human Resources will work with displaced employees to determine if there are employment opportunities for the employee to continue this county government. Now, we just had this situation with respect to the housekeepers. How long is this going to last? I mean, is this for a month, for a year and a day? And to what extent is there anything in the civil service rules or anything that is codified with respect to how this is going to happen from this memo?
Okay.
Because I don't want any king here. I don't want any princes or any princesses to decide just because I say so, this is the way it's going to be. As Supervisor Roman West indicated, that we are elected, and we are elected just as the county executive is elected.
Correct.
And you work at his pleasure. But on the other hand, we understand that things change over time. But what I'm getting at is that since this administration has been put in place, there are things that come to us, Act 10, Act 14, I think that's 14. Yeah, yeah. 14 notwithstanding, that it seems as if we are just handed something and we're to live with it without, as Supervisor Roman West indicated, that we represent in our districts at least 53,000 people. And it's one thing if there is some meat put on the ground on the bones with respect to how this is going to happen, or is it just an arbitrary decision because Human Resources decides that this is what the way it's going to be? Now, there was reference to the status quo ordinance. For what this county board passed, what the county executive did with, I don't know if he overrode it, and if he vetoed it and we overrode that. And if that is the case, then this is most definitely, and I think there was reference to Corporation Counsel and Corporation Counsel being consulted with respect to this. When is somebody going to sit? Is somebody going to give us some information? Sit down with us and have meetings with us and say, this is what we intend to do, and we intend to do it given that you passed the status quo ordinance, but we feel that this is what we can do, and with respect to affected employees, this is what's going to happen, this is what we want to see happen, whatever. But I'm just trying to remember that in this country, we do have representative democracy. And there are times when people get outvoted as it relates to policy, as it relates to something that might be important to them, or how they feel about what's going on, as for whatever issues are in front of persons. But, and you've been here for a long time, and you remember the time when staff members talked to supervisors, made appointments to see supervisors. If this is something that has happened because of Act 14, if we're ignoring the status quo ordinance, some of this needs to be put on paper. We need to be consulted about it. We need to be told what it is that no longer is valid and why. We need to know that. Otherwise, it's a situation where we're reacting to something. You're reacting to something we do, and this goes in general terms to the administration,
right,
or anybody who's not anybody who's part of the administration. So, those are my feelings on what I see before me. But I do want to know with respect to this displaced employees, what's going to happen to those employees? What remedies do they have other than the fact that HR or somebody has decided that we don't want you any longer? Mm-hmm.
So there's two things that would happen in the case of a layoff. An employee could be placed on a recall list where they can be recalled to their prior title within their department for up to 1 year if that job is recreated, so they have rights to come back to that position. In some cases, likely event that those jobs aren't created, recreated, the employee stays on a reinstatement list, which means that instead of having to go through the normal competitive process, we immediately certify them to open positions for which they meet the qualifications so that their names are in front of the hiring managers and they don't have to go through the application process.
So, Mr. Sessions, for what you just told me, I don't see that here. I don't see that here. And what I'm getting at is that we're in this government, whether we're staff people or whether we're electeds, whether we're appointed persons or whatever. Mm-hmm. The people who are laid off, and they're laid off because somebody decides they're laid off,
right,
through a change in procedure, that affects them personally, that affects their families, that affects anybody who may be dependent upon that person's income. So I really want to have something on paper, something digitally created so that questions I asked as it relates to what happens to that individual or individual set of individuals, we know what that's all about. And from what I'm seeing, we don't understand that. At least I don't understand it.
So are you talking about how an employee,
as far as your reinstatement list,
yeah,
and the other list, I don't see it here.
It's just information.
So
well, it's information, supervisor, but it affects people's lives.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
session.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, you know, we have to process layoffs every year. We recognize how significant it is to people's lives. We meet with them, we counsel them, we try to advise them on what their opportunities are and what this is going to mean for them in terms of their benefits, what their retirement options are, what their placement options are, all of those things. So we do take that very seriously. As we've consulted with departments, Ms. Mitchell has brought forward an instrument that allows a quantification of a person's skill set and their attendance and their performance and their seniority and all these factors so that the decision isn't made on a random basis,
mm-hmm.
so that there's a standardized level playing field when we evaluate people as to who's going to stay and who's going to be laid off. Part of that equation is what, you know, a basic skill set that's necessary. And that was a significant conversation out at the Behavioral Health Division. We need to keep people who are skilled in long-term care, for instance. So that had more priority over seniority in this case.
So with respect to these people who are skilled, who have merit, who have performed to the extent that they should be here, mm-hmm. and other persons should not necessarily be retained because...
Well, if there are five positions available and there are 10 people,
yes.
in those positions, decisions have to be made.
And decisions are made according to merit, not necessarily seniority, is what you're saying.
Seniority can be one factor. It can be a sole factor. You know,
it can be the sole factor.
It could be the sole
factor. To keep somebody.
Sure. It's a department head's call. We advise them on which way they want to go and how to make it equitable. But if they choose seniority, they can do that.
Well, again, my thinking is people need direction. As you said, there's counseling. You sit down with persons. You talk about their skill sets. You talk about what positions are available to them with respect to the skill sets before they go out the door. To what extent is this put on paper? Is it just...
Right. It's to be a formal plan, a documented plan.
Okay, but this hasn't been formed yet. This hasn't been developed yet.
It's in the ordinances. We do have the paperwork on it, so it's there and it's in process.
In process.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's in the civil service rules now.
Okay.
But you're saying each. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. But you're saying each department head can determine their own. They can pick which of these criteria they're going to use.
Well, we work with them to advise them on the way to make it the way to make it equitable, so that they don't just pick, you know, attendance as the driving factor.
Right.
There's
well,
going
because
to be
I
a
like
measurement.
You.
It's got to be.
You
a,
can
it's
say
gotta be a
I don't like you usually.
Okay. It seems like it could be. Could ultimately be subjective. And they're just sort of allowed to pick which objective criteria they use,
right.
but they could pick that based on what outcome they wanted.
That is an appealable decision to the Civil Service Commission. So if the instrument is not applied fairly, that's something that can be appealed to the
okay.
commission for a ruling.
Well, I don't even know where to go with that. When would we get a report showing us which elements were, you know, it seems to me there's sort of a crossover here. There's what is now civil service rule. There was what was status quo ordinance, some of which is still there, but some of which just got struck by, or some or all got struck by the new civil service rules.
No. Most of what's in the status quo continues to be in the status quo.
Oh, just only a couple provisions
just of it. Just with
then.
Regard to leaves of absence, layoff, recall. I think those are the main ones. That's what Rule 8 addresses.
Okay. So just those couple provisions. And then some of this was what you wanted to accomplish originally through the crosswalk? And.
Well, the crosswalk... As we mapped items out of the labor contracts, because there were no ordinances relating to layoffs and recalls and those sort of topics, we knew that that was going to map to civil service rules anyway. And we knew that those rules were flawed. So when we had discussions with the collective bargaining units as we were preparing the crosswalk, we all acknowledged that or at least we acknowledged to them that we thought it was flawed. I don't know that they agreed with us, but we thought that the civil service rule was flawed with regard to layoff and recall.
Okay.
So that was part of the crosswalk.
But the civil service board, their authority here is only on those matters relating to the hiring and layoff, or what about all those other provisions that you wanted dealt with? That you're going to take those provisions through them too, or
with regard to status quo, or with regard to the civil service rules? I mean, their authority, as I understand from Corporation Counsel, the Civil Service Commission's authority is to adopt the rules that they see fit. So
that the commission
sees fit. So we will bring them civil service rule changes, but we would not bring them status quo changes, if that makes sense. And I guess that kind of shares some insight into how difficult it is to administer all these different rules as we have them right now. But did that answer your question, Supervisor?
I'm having trouble processing. Okay. We got two cards. First is Jeff Weber, registered.
But not speaking, registered against the item. I'm assuming that means that he doesn't like the item. No, there's not an action. Also speaking against is David Eisen.
Almost good evening now, Chair and Supervisors. What I'm having passed around to you, our director, Boyd McCamish, had previously submitted to Co-Chair Lipscomb, and some of the other supervisors probably got it too, but I want to make sure everyone gets a packet around. We pulled that together after a series of events regarding this issue, and you know, much like Rick Session, I'd like to go back to when this started. On October 1st, I was in New York, and a representative from District Council 48 attended the Civil Service Commission meeting. And by the way, my name is Dave Eisner from District Council 48. So at that meeting, apparently there was a lot of discussion regarding some changes to civil service rules. And it from what I was told, the discussion surrounded BHD and the ability of, you know, now the Civil Service Commission and, you know, the exec and his administration to not follow, you know, county ordinances, status quo, or anything, you know, related to that because of Act 203. So, you know, based on that, then I still didn't get a clear understanding of the impact to the rest of the county. So on October 31st, myself, Jeff Weber, and our attorney for District Council 48 attended the Civil Service Commission meeting. And we kind of pulled a stunt. We asked to speak under the minutes, because under the minutes it talked about the recreation of those, that Civil Service Rule 8. So we were allowed to speak, and we had some discussion, and we're trying to understand by what authority the Civil Service Commission changed the civil service rules because of that language that Mr. Session cited and Supervisor Mayo spoke about in Chapter 33, which says any new civil service rules have to come before the county board for review, to go through the, you know, the approval process, and then, you know, even includes the county executive as the last step, just like any other, you know, resolution or ordinance has to go through. And they looked at Mr. Session, and our attorney gave him a copy of something, part of it is in there. And so we asked them, and they asked Mr. Session, you know, how he brought this to them. I think they were missing some members that day, but I just say that for something else. But so anyway, Mr. Session indicated that it was advice from Corp Counsel. And our attorney asked, do you have that in writing? Is there something in writing that we can see, you know, as to that advice? And he indicated, no, it was a verbal discussion. And that's how he advised the Civil Service Commission. And quite frankly, it seems like on October 1st, that's how they made their decision, based on verbal advice, secondhand from Mr. Session to the Civil Service Commission. So basically, based on all that, they agreed to, at their next meeting, actually put the recreation of Civil Service Rule 8 on the agenda, which was December 17th. So the three parties I just mentioned also attended that meeting. And there were some different members of civil service there that day, and including the person that chaired the meeting. So when we got to that item, She wasn't at the meeting where all this came up that they put it on the agenda. She expressed some confusion and said, I don't know why we're here. This has already been approved. It's already been passed. If you guys have a complaint with this, you should file a complaint with the Civil Service Commission and we'll take it up. And you know, our attorney asked, well, you know, we're trying to figure out by the authority based on 3305, I believe it is, where you didn't go through the county board, and she wouldn't hear it. She just said, you know, we're moving on. You file a complaint if that's what you want to do. So then that Friday, I followed up with Mr. Session. Coincidentally, he advised me during the phone call that he had just put out a memo, the one that's dated December 19th, you have before you. And he indicated to me when I was having some discussion with him that civil service trumps county ordinance. And I was really perplexed by that. And so, you know, I had discussions with Boyd. I talked to our attorney. He actually put this together for me. It's, you know, basically Chapter 63 of the Wisconsin Statute, Civil Service Rules, Chapter 17, Milwaukee County General Ordinances, Chapter 33, PRB, Act 10, Act 14, and Act 203. And during the holidays, myself and our attorney reviewed that, trying to understand where, as Mr. Session indicates, that civil service trumps a county ordinance, and we couldn't find it. Now, they may be, you know, pulling together, you know, pasting and clipping and doing whatever they're doing to come up with that summary or that observation, but I agree with Supervisor Mayo and with Supervisor Lipscomb. I mean, they need to, you know, honestly put something in writing as a legal opinion, because what has happened since this is that we have members at BHD, Downtown Community, the Community Support Program, who were laid off. People at BHD who are laid off, forced to retire, and I understand that's a little different animal because of Act 203. But for them to under the guise of Act 203, try to say this affects the rest of the county, we strongly disagree. In fact, we have language in 17.015, you know, that's maintained for the layoff process that is much more generous. It's totally different, and they're contradicting that. They're violating County Ordinance 17.015. And in fact, if you ask them, they followed 17.015 last year when they did layoffs for 2014. At this committee meeting, I believe it was in May or June, I submitted letters that we received from DAS, from Don Tyler, regarding facilities security officers, which references 17.015 being in place and talking about we may be outsourcing and there could be layoffs and so on. So, I mean, we expect that they follow 17.015, the layoff language that's in place there. And again, it's they did it last year, and it's what they did is totally different. It's in violation. It's affected also the people in the House of Correction jail, inmate and medical care. There were 53 people that were up at budget time. There's actually a pending lawsuit regarding that action, but those people have no benefit of the layoff language that they should be receiving. And then we're a couple scattered county employees. I've heard the number from 4 to 6. One that is an Ask Me person, 21-year employee, worked in Disability Services Division, kind of didn't get notified properly, whatever, but once Mr. Session put his memo forward, then instead of the provisions where she thought she was going to be laid off and be able to bump somebody or go to another department or her same pay range or whatever, she's now on the street and has been. And they changed the layoff provisions where you would be on a list for 3 years and a day. It's now 1 year. So, you know, these are, you know, strong violations. I mean, again, we still ask, where is the authority, you know, based on 33.05 for the county executive administration and HR to turn around and ignore the county board? And you know, Boyd thought you guys would be outraged, and we're outraged, and we think this needs to be addressed. And if the first way to get at that is to get a legal opinion in writing, you know, we support that. We're all for that. We need to see where they're coming from because, again, you know, myself and our attorney went through this whole doggone book here, and you got to tell me where it says what they're saying. I don't see it. They're chopping stuff up, pasting it together. I don't know what they're doing, but to me, it's really taking advantage of Act 203 and trying to apply it across the board in Milwaukee County, and that's wrong. And that's impacting people's lives as we speak. And so with that, I thank you for the time.
Supervisor Mayo, I believe, asked for Corp Counsel to put that in writing. You've heard that referral, and I'm sure the clerk will follow up as she...
All right.
does so diligently. Anything else? Otherwise, this item was informational, but I did think it was important that everyone be brought up to speed. Thank you. Item 27.